from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor, but who are you? We'd love to connect with you. Would you just say hi in the comments? Let us know where you're watching from. Let us say hi to you. And Verve is all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down with love. And today we are continuing our series on how to overcome anxiety. In fact, today we are concluding our series. And you might want to share this service with your friends. They need this too. It's really practical stuff. And I am going to be way more vulnerable with you today than I want to be. So since I was like 5 years old, I have cried maybe 4 times. I'm not proud of that. I don't think crying is a bad thing or I shouldn't cry. I just can't seem to do it. The last time I cried, and I really cried, was in the South Point Casino parking garage. I was so overwhelmed with anxious thoughts that I really cried. And I am not ready to talk about it yet. I'll explain later why. So we're talking about anxiety in this series. And some of us are awesome at being anxious, right? Like we freak out and then we freak out some more and we may stress eat or have panic attacks. Now, some people have this mistaken idea. If I give my life to God, if I'm a Christian, shouldn't I not have to deal with anxiety? Shouldn't following Jesus make me exempt from anxiety-producing circumstances? Quick answer, no. Jesus told his followers this. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said, we will have trouble. And not only did Jesus say it, he lived it. Jesus was ambushed with anxiety-producing circumstances. And so as his followers, of course we're going to experience the same thing. Today I want to look at a few of the anxious situations Jesus faced and see how he faced them. It will help us know Jesus better, which is huge, and it will help us to better know how we can handle our anxious moments. All right, so first situation, Jesus has just been baptized. Baptism is when a person is lowered underwater. It's a ceremony, symbolic of uniting with God and of a spiritual cleansing. Jesus wasn't baptized because he needed to be baptized. Jesus was baptized to set an example for us because we need to be baptized. Anyway, Jesus' baptism was unique in that God spoke audibly from heaven. He announced, this is my son. I am so pleased with him. And God's presence came down from heaven in a special, unique way and set on Jesus. It was this amazing moment. And then things go bad. Doesn't it seem like life is that way? Something great happens and watch out for what happens next. Well, what happens next for Jesus is that he heads out into the wilderness. And the wilderness is not a great place to be. Jesus was alone, and alone is really not a great place to be. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days. And we're told at the end of them, the 40 days, he was hungry. I imagine so, right? After 40 days, I'd be like, food, get in my belly. So Jesus is in a weakened condition and Satan shows up to tempt him. Of course, Satan shows up. Have you noticed he does his best work when we are at our worst? And yes, I know it's like, meh, but Satan is real. The Bible, which is our truth source here, tells us that Satan was one of God's angels. He wanted to be God. He rebelled. He lost. He now hates God. He wants to hurt God. And the best way for him to do that is by hurting you. And just like he does with us, we see Satan unleash a series of strategic attacks designed to hit Jesus at his most vulnerable places. That's how Satan rolls. It's how he works in your life. And you need to be really clear on that. So the Bible says that you have a great enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a lion looking to devour you. Wow. He is trying to pull you away from God and from the life God has for you. And he has a specific strategy designed to ruin your life. He will hit you with circumstances that produce anxiety. And when anxiety has settled in, he will hit you with temptations calculated to play on your specific weaknesses. It is no joke. So Jesus, remember, he's in the wilderness, he's alone, he's hungry, and Satan tempts him for 40 days. And during this time, awful thoughts ambush Jesus. Thoughts like, you should worship Satan. You should throw yourself off this building. You should give up the idea of dying on a cross. You should ditch your diet and eat carbs. You think I'm joking? Not really. I'll show you in a minute. But have you been there? Like, have you had thoughts which you may or may not have recognized as temptations from Satan that stole your peace of mind and maybe even caused you terror? Maybe you have them when you're trying to fall asleep, or you try to avoid having them by constantly staying busy. Perhaps you've only talked about them with a counselor, or it could be that you haven't told anyone. Have you had those anxious, scary thoughts? Jesus has been there too. Second situation. It's the night before Jesus would be crucified. He knows what's going to happen. Jesus came to earth to die, which makes it even more anxiety-inducing. He knows what's going to happen, right? Jesus knew that not only would he be tortured, not only would he die, what is even to this day considered by experts to be the most painful and humiliating way to die. But even worse, Jesus knew that in his death on the cross, he would take on the sins of the world. Jesus had existed for all eternity and had never sinned. Sin is what separates people from God. Jesus had existed for all eternity in perfect relationship with his Father, God. But on the cross, when he took on our sins, he had to be separated from his Father. That was the most painful part of the crucifixion. And Jesus knew it was going to happen. And so the night before, he goes to a garden with his friends to pray. And thinking about what would happen the next day, look what the Bible says. He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. Have you been there? And have you looked at what was coming the next day, year, into the distant future, and it just looked painful and humiliating, like it might separate you from what's important to you, and you had no hope, and you just plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. What do you do? When you're ambushed with those kinds of anxious thoughts, when you think about the future and it seems like there's nothing there that you can feel good about, most of us don't know what to do, right? That's the problem. And so we suffer and we struggle. What do you do? We need to do what Jesus did. We need to handle anxiety, temptation, agony, the way Jesus did. So what did Jesus do? Let me show you, okay? First, Jesus responded to anxiety with God's word, the Bible. Let's look at what happened when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. I mentioned that. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 2. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say," the Bible says, "people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. And every time Satan attacked, Jesus responded by quoting God's word, the Bible. Why? Because when anxiety takes over, your thoughts go haywire, right? You will question things you know to be true. You'll wonder if God is real and if he's really for you. You'll be tempted to stop showing up at church, to stop showing up at your group, to stop praying. No, you need to keep believing what you know is true and keep doing what you know will help you regardless of how you're feeling. You are tempted to believe lies, and the antidote for lies is truth. Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Bible is God's source of truth for our lives. And listen, you don't have to believe it just because someone told you to believe it. You can believe it because it's been proven true for thousands of years. You can believe it because it's been proven true for thousands of years. It's true, and it's the truth you need. When anxiety lies to you, when Satan tries to deceive you, it is so easy to believe lies. And so we need to stay focused on the truth. We need to know the truth. Did you notice when Jesus was tempted, he didn't say, "I need a Bible. Hey, does anybody have a Bible? Somebody get me a Bible." No, he didn't grab a Bible and start searching for a verse that might help. No, he had verses memorized that gave him strength when he was weak. Check out what the Bible tells us. The person who wrote this, Psalm 119, verse 11, says, "I have hidden your word," God's word, "in my heart that I might not sin against you." So, I became a Christian out of a completely non-Christian background. And after becoming a Christian, I grew spiritually really fast. My life changed really fast. And people wondered why. They asked me why at that time. They've asked me why ever since. And I tell them it was because I read the Bible like a maniac and I memorized a bunch of verses. So I would read a verse that seemed especially important, or a verse that I might need. It's like, oh man, that talks directly to something I struggle with, or you know, a lie I believe, or temptation I face. And so what I would do is I would write that verse on a 3x5 card and carry it around with me in my pocket. And I would just, any chance I was standing in line or waiting in my car at a red light, I would just pull it out and I would read it and I would read it and I would read it until I had it in my heart. Can I encourage you to do the same? I now, it's like however many years later, 30 years later, I don't use 3x5 cards. I use the Bible Memory app. It's great. It's free. You can get the app. And what you do is you pick verses and you download the verses. You just tell it what verse and it downloads it for you. And then it helps you to memorize the verse. The way it does it is really cool. It actually kind of makes it fun, almost like a game. However you choose to do it, memorize some verses. You will be amazed at how they help you to battle temptation and face down anxiety. Second, what did Jesus do? Jesus responded to anxiety by talking to God and naming his fear. So you remember I said that the night before he'd be crucified, Jesus went to a garden. It was on this place called the Mount of Olives, and he went there to pray. Here's what happened. Luke 22. Then, accompanied by the disciples, so these guys he was training, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual, so it was a place he often went to pray, to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, "Pray that you will not give in to temptation." He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." So Jesus got on his knees and he told his father, "I am afraid of my mission. I know it's what I need to do, but I'm terrified of it. Is there any other way?" He named his fear. Have you ever had a time, I grew up some in Florida, and this is kind of common in Florida, where you have a problem with roaches, and you go into your kitchen at night, and you turn the light on, and they're there. Ew, right? And when you turn your light on, though, they all run. They just disappear. Like, exposed by the light, it's like they're forced to leave. And our anxious thoughts can be the same way. It's like they're there, that they're having a party in the darkness of your mind. But when you take those thoughts to God, when you pray about them, specifically naming your fear, something happens. If you bring those thoughts into the light of God, something changes. I love this passage in the Bible. It's kind of where we got the name for the series. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." You can be anxious no more. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," asking God is what petition means, "with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So am I promising, is the Bible promising, is God promising, that your fears will go away if you just pray about it? No. But if you keep praying, specifically naming that fear, something will change. Jesus prayed, and it didn't change God's plan, right? The next day, Jesus still went to the cross. But Jesus was able to face the cross with courage because he prayed. And we need to pray the way Jesus prayed. Just talk to God honestly. Tell him your fear and tell him, "God, I want your will to be done, not mine." What did Jesus do? third, Jesus responded to anxiety by sharing it with his friends. Did you notice Jesus went to this garden to pray, not on his own, but with his friends, and that he asked them to pray with him and for him? It's kind of cool, isn't it? So here's Jesus, who is God in the flesh, but even being God, he needed friends, just like I do, and just like you do. So Jesus brought his friends to the garden. He shared his anxiety with them. Also, think about this. So Jesus was alone, remember, in the wilderness when Satan tempted him? So how did that get in the Bible? Like, how did the guys who wrote the Bible know what happened with Jesus when he was alone in the wilderness? Well, apparently, obviously, Jesus told them, right? When Jesus experienced hard times, anxiety, temptation, he shared it with his friends. Man, do you know how much strength comes from getting people to pray for you? Think of it this way. Don't you hate to have nightmares, right? You hate nightmares. You wake up and you're all freaked out, and then you lay there and you can't fall back asleep because of the nightmare, right? So do you remember when you were a kid and you had a nightmare and you'd like go running in scared and you'd wake up your mom or your dad, and it was just kind of nice, right? Like to have someone there with you. But we're older now, and we do not like to admit when we're struggling with fear. But Jesus brought his friends with him to the garden, and he asked them to pray for him. And then he went off a stone's throw away, a little bit off, and he went to pray by himself. And look what happens next. It says, at last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray. And isn't it cool that when the Son of God was afraid, he woke up his friends and asked them to pray for him? Some of us are living a nightmare, but we're not telling anyone. You need to tell people. You need people you can tell. And that's why we are so big at Verve on this idea of everyone being in a Verve group. Verve groups are our small groups. It's typically, it might be 5 or 6 people. It might be 10 to 12 people. And they get together once a week. We have a bunch of groups that meet online. And in those groups, you get friends. And one of those things those friends can do is they can pray for you. And having people like that around you can literally save your life. So there was a study done, and they found that experiencing 3 or more incidents of intense stress within a year, so like serious financial trouble or being fired or a divorce or a global pandemic, triples the death rate in socially isolated middle-aged men, but has no impact on the death rate of men who have close friends. You need close friends, and you need to share your anxiety, your struggles, your temptations with them. That's what Jesus did. He responded to anxiety with God's word, and by talking to God and naming his fear, and by sharing it with his friends. What do you do? What do you do when you are ambushed with anxious thoughts? We need to do what Jesus did. And that brings us back to the South Point parking garage. I told you that I was crying for only like maybe the third or fourth time since I was like 5 years old. Why was I crying? It was because of the biggest temptation I face in life, because of the biggest cause of anxiety in my life, because I had a moment where I plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. It's because of a fear I have that I don't love God. And you have no idea how hard that was for me to say, but I struggle with feeling like I don't really love God. I've had a counselor who diagnosed me as having attachment disorder. Attachment disorder is when a person has traumatic experiences in early childhood and, in a sense, kind of closes off their heart to avoid future pain. As I understand it, brain scans on people with attachment disorder show black holes of non-activity where there should be activity. People with attachment disorder find it difficult or impossible to attach and form intimate relationships. Maybe that's why I have this issue. I honestly don't know. I've admitted, if you've been around for a while, you know I've admitted many times that I have a struggle to believe that God loves me, but I have never admitted that I struggle to believe that I love God, but I do. And that is, more than anything else, I'd say, what makes me feel anxious and desperate and hopeless. So what do I do? What do I do when I am ambushed with anxious thoughts? I need to do what Jesus did. So what I did was I talked about it with a Christian counselor. And my counselor gave me Bible verses, which is exactly what I wanted, because I wanted to respond to my anxiety with God's word. My counselor said, Vince, for some reason you equate loving God with having feelings, these lovey-dovey feelings, but that's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say loving God looks like? Well, Jesus said in John 14:21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Jesus said in John 14:23, all who love me will do what I say. Counselor said, look, loving God looks like doing what God tells you to do. He gave me another verse. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. He said, Vince, loving God looks like living a sacrificial life. He said, Vince, from what I know of you, that's you. Like, why did you move to Las Vegas? You didn't want to. You didn't want to move. You didn't want to leave where you were. You moved here because you thought it's what God wanted you to do. And why did you do this? And why do you do that? And so he helped me to respond to anxiety with God's word. I also responded by talking to God. Man, I have prayed about it and prayed about it. Honest, real prayers where I name my fear. And I decided, and it was very difficult for me, that I had to tell people. And so I finally told my wife in our car in the South Point Casino parking garage. I don't know why that's where I chose to tell her. It was a really bad decision, but I'm really glad I told her. I wish I didn't cry when I did it, I guess. But and the thought that maybe I don't really love God, I couldn't take it. But telling her, sharing it with her, helped me. And now, once I told her, I had her to pray for me. And later I got my guts up again and I told my Verve group, the group of guys, I'm in a couples group and a guys group, but the group of guys that I'm doing life with, I told them, I hated telling them. It was just weird. It's like, hey, I'm your pastor and I don't really think I love God. Could you please not tweet that? It was weird, but telling them helped me. And now I had them to pray for me. And today I'm telling you, all of you, and I didn't want to do that. But I think it will help. And now you can pray for me. Or you can leave our church because you want a pastor who's sure he loves God. I'd understand. I'm doing three things with my anxious thoughts. I'm responding to them with God's word and by talking to God, naming my fear, and sharing it with my friends. And I'm doing that because it's what Jesus did. It's what we all need to do. So, as we finish our series, man, we have learned a lot this past month. And if you missed some of the weeks, you can go back and watch any of those. But as we conclude our series, what anxious thoughts are you battling? And will you do with them what Jesus did with his anxious thoughts? And when are you going to do that? Don't wait, because, and you know this, the longer you wait, the harder it will be to do. So do what Jesus did and do it soon. Well, right now, we're going to go to God. Our band is going to lead us in a song. You could use this time to sing the song, or you could use this time to pray, to name your fear, talking to God about it, to maybe make some decisions about Bible verses you need to memorize or about people you're going to finally share your struggle with. But don't miss this opportunity. These next few minutes, don't miss this opportunity. All right? So let's pray, and then you'll have some time to do that. Let's pray. That was rough, God. And all of us have something that's really rough in our lives, something that is difficult for us to think about, for us to deal with. That's why we've been doing this series for the last month on how you can help us to overcome anxiety. God, as we conclude this series by looking at what Jesus did with anxiety, it's so encouraging to me to know that you lived a human life and you know what we go through. And God, I want to follow the example that you set, Jesus, that you set in how to deal with anxiety. God, would you help us all to decide we're going to respond to anxiety with your word because our thoughts go haywire and we are tempted to believe lies. And so we need to know the truth because it will set us free. God, would you help us to respond to anxiety by talking to you about it and specifically and honestly naming our fear? And God, would you help us to respond to anxiety by sharing it with our friends? It is hard. I have experienced that today. But God, would you help us to be honest and vulnerable with our friends so that they can pray for us, just like Jesus did? God, help us as we move into these next few minutes and a chance to sing to you and to remember that you are on our side, that you are with us, that you are going to get us through, to use this song as a chance to connect with you. And to think about the next steps we need to take. God, we pray all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus who came for us. Amen.